In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you, proclaiming the Word of God. Hallelujah. The Scripture says, "Thy Word is truth." The Scripture says that by hearing the Word of God, we shall be saved. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing the Word of God. I tell you, we do not spend enough time in the Word. We do not spend enough time in the Word. We'd say, you know, I wasn't raised with the Word. Well, I'll tell you this. You weren't raised with a microwave oven either. You were not raised with a clicker in front of the television. You know, that remote was not real, but you learned how to use it very quickly. No. It's time to open the Word of God and to read it in Jesus' name. I'm looking at 2 Kings 4, verse 42. 2 Kings 4, verse 42. A man came from Baal Shal, Isha, bringing food from the first fruits of the man of God to the man of God. I tell you, the first fruits is the tithe that we give to the Lord, that we use to bless people. If we're not using the tithe, well, you know what? We don't get the blessing. We don't get the blessing if we're not using the tithe. And the tithe, God says, "Test me, and I will open the windows of heaven if you give the tithe." But I can't convince people about that. They have to step out in faith and see that God means what he says. So, from the first fruits to the man of God, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. Elisha said, "Give it to the people, let them eat." But his servant said, "How can I set this before 100 people?" 100 people, not counting the women. How can I set this few loaves of bread for 100 people? So he repeated, "Give it to the people and let them eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." He set it before them, and they ate and had some left according to the word of the Lord. I tell you, I cannot not afford to not tithe, because when I tithe, God opens the windows of heaven. We tithe our radio ministry also. Oh, yes, we tithe our radio ministry that people would receive from us what we give 10% to different people and different communities. Oh, yes, we've done that in the beginning. I've told you before, I thought that I was going to be on the radio for 6 months. And when I got the first sets of checks, I said, well, maybe I won't tithe. I'll be able to be on the radio another extra month. But I knew that was wrong. And we started tithing the first time we received checks. And we do it all now. That's what we do. Because God said, "Test me, and I will open the windows of heaven." Now, you can either do it or not do it. I can't force people to do it. And I'm not telling you to send your money into Father Tom. I'm telling you that the tithe brings open windows from heaven. Chapter 5, 2 Kings 5. Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man in high favor with his master, the king, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now, what was leprosy? It could be a blotch on your face. They had no antibiotics, and it would spread. Naaman was a leper, and he's also a pagan. He is not the God of Israel. He does not worship the God of Israel. He worships I don't know who, but not the God of Israel. Now, the Armenians, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel. This young girl becomes the heroine of the story. And she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord Naaman were with the prophet who was in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." The little girl knows that Elisha has the power to cure leprosy. That power is given to him by God. He can only do what God calls him to do. So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He thinks that he's got to go to the king of Israel, but we're going to see when the king of Israel hears this, that you can heal Naaman, he rips his clothes. He rips his clothes. He says, "I shall not. What am I, a prophet in the land of God? I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and then sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When the letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him." Oh, my, my. The king knows he has no power to cure him of his leprosy. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life that this man sends word to me to cure a man with leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha said a messenger to him, saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy." You know, we're like that too. We say, I long for God to heal me. And sometimes he heals through medicine. And we don't take authority with the medicine that the Lord heals us with. And that's true. True. I remember saying, "I don't need to go to the doctor. The Lord's going to heal me." Well, I never was healed until I went to the doctor. That's just the way it is. Are not the Arbana, the Paphar, the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? could I not wash in them and be clean? He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you have done it? How much more, when all is said to you was, wash and be clean? So he went down and immersed himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. These servants have more faith than so many people. They have faith that God has raised up a prophet in Samaria. His name is Elisha. When he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, he came and stood before him and said, Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Please accept this present from your servant. But he said, As the Lord lives, when I serve, I will accept nothing. He urged him to accept, but he refused. Then Naaman said, If not, please let two mule loads of earth be given to your servant. Holy Land. Holy Land, the one he worships is going to worship on the ground of Israel to the God of Israel. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it's all about Holy Land. For your servant will no longer offer burnt offerings or sacrifices to any god except the Lord. But may the Lord pardon your servant on one count. When my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship, leaning on my arm, and I bow down in the house of Rimmon, when I do bow down in the house of Rimmon, may the Lord pardon your servant of this one count. He said, Elisha said, go in peace. Oh, yes, because his heart is right. He's got to go with the king into the false god Rimmon. And I tell you, we all have false gods. But when Naaman had gone from him a short distance, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, thought, My master has let that Aramean Naaman off too lightly by not accepting from him what he offered. This is Gehazi. As the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something out of him. So Gehazi went before Naaman, and when Naaman saw someone running after him, he jumped down from the chariot to meet him and said, Is everything all right? He replied, Yes, but my master has sent me to say, Two members of the company of prophets have just come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two changes of clothing. He's making it up. He's greedy. Elisha wouldn't accept anything from Naaman. It goes on. Naaman said, Please accept two talents. He urged him and tied up two talents of silver in two bags and two changes of clothing and gave them to two of his servants who carried them in front of Gehazi. When he came to the citadel, he took the bags from them and stored them inside. He dismissed the men, and they left. He went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said to him, Gehazi, where have you been, Gehazi? He answered, Your servant has not gone anywhere at all. But he said to him, Did I not go with you in spirit when someone left his chariot to meet you? Is this a time to accept money and to accept clothing and olive orchards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and male and female slaves? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and to your descendants forever. So he left his presence leprous, as white as snow. I tell you, he was greedy. He was greedy. Why did my master did not take anything from Elisha? Why did Naaman not take anything from Elisha? So I'm going to go get stuff from Naaman. It's very interesting. Things haven't changed. Things haven't changed. Greed. The only way to check away from greed is to tithe and to give offerings. That's the only way. Chapter 6. Now the company of the prophets said to Elisha, "As you see the place where we live under your charge, it's too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan and let us collect logs there, one for each of us, and build a place there for us to live." He answered, "Do so." Then one of them said, "Please come with your servants." And he answered, "I will." So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, trees, but as one was felling a log, his axe head fell into the water. He cried out, "Alas, master, this axe head was borrowed." Then the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" When he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. He said, "Pick it up." So he reached out his hand and took it. This is God. This is God doing these things through the prophet Elisha. I tell you, Jesus said, "Signs like these shall follow those who believe. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall be healed." That we have authority in the name of Jesus. The authority isn't something that I have in and of myself. The authority comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. But we do not use the authority of Jesus. What if the person isn't healed? Well, you know what? That's not my business. What if the person is healed? He told us to lay hands upon the sick, and they shall be healed. And that's what we're supposed to do. Not only priests, but God's people. We go to verse 8 of chapter 6. Once when the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he took counsel with his officers. He said, "At such and such a place shall be my camp." But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Take care not to pass this place, because the Arameans are going down there." The king of Israel sent word to the place of which the man of God spoke. More than once or twice he warned such a place so that it was on alert. The mind of the king of Aram was greatly perturbed because of this. He called his officers and said to them, "Now tell me, who among us sides with the king of Israel?" Then one of his officers said, "No one, my lord king. It is Elisha the prophet in Israel who tells the king the words that they are to speak in his bedchamber." He said, "Go and find where he is. We'll send and seize him." He was told that he is in Dothan. So he went and sent horses and chariots there, and a great army. They came by night and surrounded the city. When an attendant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. His servant said, "Alas, master, what shall we do?" But Elisha replied, "Do not be afraid, for there are more with us than there are with them." Well, the slave is looking and saying, "We're only a few. They've got hundreds." But the prophet says, "There are more with us than there are with them." I continue. He replied, "Do not be afraid, for there are more with us than there are with them." When Elisha prayed, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the servant, and he saw the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. When the Arameans came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people with blindness." As Elisha had asked, Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." And he led them to Samaria. As soon as they entered Samaria, Elisha said, "O Lord, open the eyes of these men so that they may see." The Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "Father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" He answered, "No. Did you capture with your sword and your bow those whom you want to kill? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink, and let them go to their master." So he prepared for them a great feast. After they ate and drank, he sent them on their way, and they went to their master. And the Arameans no longer came raiding into the land of Israel. This is amazing. We see these miracles taking place. Remember that Elisha said a double portion of the spirit that's on Elijah. That's what I want. And you see, it's God gave it to him. God gave it to him. He does all these miracles. But you see, signs, wonders, and miracles should follow the preaching of the gospel. Signs, wonders, and miracles shall follow the preaching of the gospel. Thomas Aquinas said to his brothers, "When you go into a town and they do not hear you, raise the dead." Now, he was the great scholar. Raise the dead. I tell you, it is time for us to do signs and wonders and miracles, to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. We need the Holy Spirit to work through us. It's no other way that the signs and miracles come, but in the Holy Spirit and in the preaching of the gospel. When's the last time you've preached the gospel, shared your testimony? Now, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm trying to say, this is what you've got to do. That's what God called you to do, to share your testimony. And you know what? If you do that, you'll see that God will do something in these people. You see, you cannot deny someone's experience. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word." Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I want to invite you to the School of the Holy Spirit at the Crown Plaza in Woburn, Massachusetts. It's going to be held between the 25th and the 31st of July. School of the Holy Spirit at Crown Plaza, Woburn, Mass, between the 25th and the 31st of July. I hope to see you there. I hope to see you there. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.